A friend of mine has her birthday a few days before Christmas, and she says that many times her birthday celebration is combined with the Christmas celebration. Her birthday gift is often combined with her Christmas gift, and I have the impression that she's not terribly happy about that arrangement. She would like two celebrations and two gifts rather than one combined celebration. If there are two events, she says, then there should be two celebrations. Many years ago, the church had a combined celebration for three events each year on January 6th. On the Feast of the Epiphany, January 6th, we would remember and celebrate three different events. The first was the visit of the Magi with the three gifts. The second was the baptism of Jesus in the River Jordan. And the third was the wedding at Cana in Galilee. We would celebrate all three of these events on one day. We would have a combined celebration. The Magi, the baptism, and the wedding at Cana were all celebrated on one day. Fortunately, we have three Sundays now to celebrate these three events. Instead of a combined celebration, we have an extended celebration. We move quickly from Christmas to the Holy Family in the Temple, to the Epiphany and the Magi, to the baptism at the Jordan River, and finally today we come to the wedding at Cana in Galilee. On Epiphany, the Magi worshiped the child Jesus and presented him gold because he is a king, frankincense because he is God and the high priest, and myrrh because he is destined to die as a sacrifice. The Magi recognized God in the face of the child Jesus. At his baptism in the Jordan, we saw Jesus in the water and the face of John the Baptist. We heard the voice of the Father declare that Jesus is the beloved Son in whom he is well pleased. We saw the Holy Spirit descend upon Jesus in the form of a dove with the voice of the Father and the presence of the Holy Spirit. We recognize Jesus as God, the beloved Son. At the wedding at Cana in Galilee, Jesus performs the first of his signs. That's the way John refers to miracles, by changing water into wine. It seems like such a sensitive gesture and really a simple miracle when you think about it. There's no statement to the paralytic, rise and walk. There's no peace, be still, to the storm. There are not five loaves and two fish and 5,000 people. Changing water into wine, while wonderful for the wedding party, seems kind of somehow unimpressive as miracles go. It seems so very simple. Except when you look at it with the visit of the Magi and the baptism at the Jordan. In both of those cases, we recognize Jesus as divine King and as the beloved Son. There's something about changing water into wine that tells us and told the disciples of Jesus at Cana in Galilee that God is in their midst. Wine flows abundantly through the scriptures. For the prophets and for the disciples of Jesus, the abundant blessing of God is shown in an abundance of wine. So for the wine to run out, as it did at Cana in Galilee, would be taken as a sign that God had not blessed this wedding and this family. Jesus changes an abundance of water into an abundance of wine. It is a sign of God's blessing. But more than a sign of blessing, because the disciples recognized the divine power of Jesus when he provided abundant wine at a wedding. Isaiah reminds us that the Lord loves his people and cherishes his people and honors his people as a bridegroom loves his bride. At the time of the wedding at Cana in Galilee, in the days of our Lord's earthly ministry, it was the responsibility not of the bride's parents and not of the catering company. It was the responsibility of the bridegroom to provide the wine for the wedding feast. So when Jesus provides the wine, the abundant wine, he reveals to his disciples that he is the promised divine bridegroom who will love and cherish the church, his bride, forever. He will love and cherish all of us and each of us forever. And now we enter in to the wedding feast of the Lamb, where Jesus Christ, the bridegroom, loves us and feeds us in abundance. Amen.